All right, so we did this. We're doing Bill Gates today. You guys requested it. And we found this super interesting blog post. It really maps out his whole journey. Code geek to tech titan to a guy who just kind of looked like he always knows the Wi-Fi password.
It's funny you say that because the post really digs into those early moments, you know, those things that kind of put him on this path. And it's not just about being brilliant. It's that ambition, a little bit of rule breaking, and honestly, being in the right place at the right time.
It really is that perfect storm, isn't it? And like, picture this.
Yeah.
Young Bill Gates.
Right.
Privileged upbringing, lawyer dad who instilled a love of learning, all that. But his mom, she sounds like the real MVP.
Yeah.
The article talks about how she really emphasized discipline, made sure he ate his vegetables. You can just imagine those dinner table debates.
Oh, absolutely. A blend of nature and nurture, right? You see that spark early on, especially with math, but lakeside schools where things really take off. That's where computers enter the picture, and it's basically love at first bite.
Total obsession. The blog mentions him spending hours coding. He even made a tic-tac-toe game.
Yeah.
It's like a rite of passage for coders, right?
Right. And it might seem basic now, but you can see how he's already thinking about using code to create something interactive. Problem solving, engagement. But speaking of which, remember that story about him getting banned from the computer lab?
Oh, yeah. Classic teenage rebellion, right? But Gates takes it to a whole other level.
Exactly. Instead of just accepting defeat, he negotiates his way back in.
Yeah.
Offers to find vulnerabilities in their system in exchange for access. This kid already understood leverage.
Talk about a crash course in real-world systems, right? I bet that taught him more than any textbook ever could. But you can't talk about Bill Gates without talking about Paul Allen. This blog post calls their partnership formidable. What struck you about those early collaborations?
Well, they clearly both loved coding, obviously. Two peas in a pod, spending hours and hours geeking out. But my favorite detail is that their first project together, they automated the school class schedule.
Yep.
And they strategically placed themselves in classes with favorable demographics.
Cool, that's genius, putting those coding skills to good use. But that also shows they weren't just interested in the technical side. They were thinking about how to use technology to impact their lives and get a date, apparently.
Right.
But they were entrepreneurial, too. Remember that traffic system they built as teenagers?
Oh, right. Making $20,000 at 15 years old just for building a traffic management system. That's not just a hobby. That's a sign of things to come.
They were light years ahead.
They had a knack for spotting opportunities, and they had the skills to back it up. So even when Gates goes off to Harvard, you can tell his mind is still on code.
Yeah, the article was saying he basically lived in the computer lab. But then there's this whole thing about the pancake sorting problem. What is that?
Okay, so imagine a stack of pancakes, all different sizes, and your only tool is a spatula. The pancake sorting problem is a computer science thing about finding the most efficient way to sort those pancakes by flipping them. And Gates co-authored a solution.
Okay, so besides being a great party trick, what does that tell us?
Algorithms. Problem solving. Skills that came in pretty handy later on.
I bet they did.
Oh.
But this is all happening just as the personal computer is starting to emerge. That's where things really go crazy, right?
Exactly. Gates and Allen sense this huge shift happening. They see the Altair 8800, one of the first personal computers, and they're like, we need to get in on this.
Which is when they approach Amites with this idea for a basic interpreter. I have to admit, some of our listeners might not be fluent in tech jargon. Can you break that down a bit?
Think of basic like a language, and the interpreter is like the translator. Without it, the Altair 8800 was basically a powerful engine with no steering wheel. Gates and Allen wanted to make this groundbreaking computer user-friendly, well, at least for the people who knew how to code.
So they saw the potential, but they needed to make it accessible. But get this, they pitched this whole idea without even having an Altair 8800 to work with.
It's incredible. Pure hustle. They convinced MIS to just take a chance on them based on their skills and their passion.
So what do?
They hole up in a motel room for 8 weeks, coding day and night.
Intense.
Total dedication. And when they finally present this finished basic interpreter to MIS.drumroll.ed, it worked. This feels like one of those make or break moments.
Right.
Totally. This was the launchpad for Microsoft. Well, Microsoft hyphen and all. They went from coding in dorm rooms to being major players in this brand new industry. It's a Cinderella story, except instead of a glass slipper, it's lines of code.
Okay, so we left off with Gates and Allen, fresh out of their coding marathon, basic interpreter in hand, and a brand new company called Microsoft hyphen and all. Talk about a glow up. But something tells me this story doesn't end there.
Oh, not even close. Remember that whole brilliance meets rule breaking thing we were talking about?
Yeah.
Well, that becomes like the driving force behind Microsoft's rise.
Yeah.
Gates was laser focused on success and he pushed everyone hard, himself included.
The article definitely hints at his intense leadership style. But hey, it worked right. This is when IBM comes knocking. They need an operating system for their new PC, and Microsoft's the lucky winner. Now, for those of us who still think DOS is just what you do with a tennis ball, can you break down what an operating system actually does?
Sure. Think of it like this. It's the conductor of the computer orchestra. It manages all the hardware, the software, makes sure everything's working together. Without it, your computer's basically just a really expensive paperweight.
So IBM needs a conductor. And did Microsoft even have an orchestra at this point?
Here's the kicker. They didn't actually have a ready-made operating system when IBM came calling.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
So they just rolled in there like, we got this. We're just working out a few kinks.
Pretty much. But that's what makes this whole thing so interesting. They knew about another company that had developed an operating system called QDOS.
Ah, so it was a bit of a fake it till you make it situation.
You could say that. Microsoft swoops in, buys QDOS for, I think it was $50,000? Yeah. They polished it up, renamed it PC-DOS, and licensed it to IBM.
Talk about a hustle. But if they licensed it, wouldn't IBM own the rights to PC-DOS?
And this is where Gates pulls off like his masterstroke. He insisted on a non-exclusive licensing agreement.
Meaning
Microsoft still got to sell their operating system, which they were now calling MS-DOS, to other computer makers.
So they weren't putting all their eggs in the IBM basket.
Exactly. Incredibly savvy. IBM probably regretted that decision later on. Big time.
I bet.
Because as the PC market just exploded, MS-DOS became the operating system. It was everywhere.
It's kind of mind-blowing how fast they went from that motel room to basically running the computer world.
Right. But even with that crazy success, Gates is already looking ahead. They were already working on Windows, which would change everything all over again. But all this rapid growth wasn't without a few bumps in the road. The blog mentions this whole antitrust lawsuit against Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, wasn't that like a whole David and Goliath situation? Except this time, Microsoft was Goliath. It was huge. The Department of Justice actually accused Microsoft of using their influence to just crush the competition.
Yeah, talk about a fall from grace.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
To go from zero to 100 like that.
It was definitely a turning point for Gates, both personally and professionally.
So what ended up being like the main issue that they were going after?
Well, the government was saying that Microsoft was unfairly bundling its Internet Explorer browser with Windows.
Which basically meant?
They were using their power in the operating system market to force people into using their web browser, too. Trying to protect those little guy startups.
Like Netscape.
Netscape Navigator, yeah.
I haven't heard that name in ages. So did they end up having to, like, split up Microsoft?
That was the big question, wasn't it?
Right.
The court said that Microsoft had violated antitrust laws, but they didn't break them up. They did, though, impose some pretty big restrictions on them.
I bet that was still a tough pill to swallow.
Oh, for sure. It definitely made Gates confront the consequences of his, let's call it, ambition. It's a good reminder that even the most brilliant people in the room need to be careful.
Right. Think about the bigger picture.
Exactly. And maybe that's part of why he shifted gears so much in the years that followed.
Yeah. You're talking about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, right?
That's right.
The article mentioned it, but didn't really get into it.
It's a shame because it might be the most inspiring part of his whole story. This foundation that he started with Melinda Gates back in 2000, it's had such a huge impact. From fighting diseases to improving education. It's like he took all that drive, all that energy, and put it into making the world better.
It's amazing when you think about it. What starts with lines of code can end up saving lives.
Absolutely.
It really makes you think, what kind of impact do you want to leave on the world? It's a question we should all ask ourselves. Well, there you have it. Bill Gates, from code to global domination to changing the world. It's quite the journey. What lessons will you take away from his story? Let us know.